Good evening, everybody. Great to see you. Well, I'm afraid there is no escaping it at this moment now. I think Christmas is pretty much here with us, isn't it? If you go into the shops, you'll hear all the Christmas songs playing, won't you? You can't escape them. I feel really sorry. Anybody here work in a supermarket or a shop where it's on constantly repeat all the time? I'm really sorry for you, if that's you. I wonder what your favourite Christmas song is. I'm going to have a picture on the screen in a moment, and I wonder if you... Oh, well, there you go. The answer is there. Driving home for Christmas. Anyone like that song? Yeah. Love that song. Love the sentiment of that song. Love that picture of driving home, sat at the wheel, finger tapping on the steering wheel, just singing along with the Christmas songs that are playing over the stereo. It's a beautiful scene, isn't it? Maybe you've come home for Christmas over the last few days, or maybe you know somebody is going to be heading home for Christmas over the next week. It's a beautiful scene, driving home. But I wonder if you've ever got lost driving home. Anyone ever got lost in the car driving home? We had a terrible, terrible time once as a family. We were driving home from France, and it's before the time of reliable sat-navs, before Google Maps had landed on all our phones. And we were driving about 4 hours to the city of Caen, where we had to catch our ferry. Now, I'd done this journey a few times, and I knew that the sat-nav that I was using could never find the ferry port. So I decided, I took an executive decision and decided, we'll just head for Caen. We'll put that in the sat-nav, we'll find Caen, and it'll be easy. There'll be signs heading, you know, showing us how to get to the port. So we set off on this four-hour journey, all the kids in the back, ready to go. And we do a little bit of sightseeing on the way to the ferry, which was good fun, but did put us a bit under pressure time-wise. And then we head off back on the French motorway. And then the rain starts. It's absolutely chucking it down. Good, proper French rain upon us. But we should be okay. We get to the city of Caen, and can we see a sign for the ferry port? No, we are driving round and round the city of Caen, and we're sort of saying, well, I'm sure there must be a sign somewhere. Surely there'd be a sign for the ferry port somewhere, but we cannot see a sign, and time is passing by, the clock is ticking, and we know the ferry is going to leave at a certain time. And we've gone from this sort of scene to the next slide. It's getting a little bit anxious. A little bit stressed in the car. Where are we going to sleep tonight, Dad, if we miss the ferry? We can't all sleep in the car. How could you do this to us, Dad? What's going on? We found the ferry just in time. We made it. I mean, I could almost say it was good because we didn't have to queue, apart from that stressful hour of driving round and round the city of Caen. We just got on the boat as it pulled off. It was a very, very stressful journey, and it's not a journey that I would want to do again. In a hurry. It was not nice being so lost when all we wanted to do was drive home. It was not nice being lost. And I want to think just for a few minutes tonight about being lost. About being lost. I wonder if you've ever experienced being lost. And that word lost can have a few different meanings, can't it? You know, we can be lost geographically, like we were then. We know where we want to go, but we don't quite know how to get from here to where we want to go. We can't see the way ahead. Sometimes people talk about somebody who's lost their way, someone who's maybe lost their way in life. And it really says more about who we are than where we are. Losing our way in life, trying to find our way forwards. I think a lot of us find ourselves there at some point. If you follow any kind of sport, you'll have experienced what it feels like when your team have lost, when your team have failed to reach the standard and the level of the opposing team. I think Villa were playing today. Any Villa fans with us this evening? They actually won. It didn't look like it was going that way, did it? But they did manage to avoid that. But poor Brentford lost today against Villa. And I haven't checked Man U and Liverpool. Anyone happen to know? No? No news, okay. No news is good news. We talk of losing somebody. And, you know, and in grief, there is a real sense of loss because something is missing. somebody is missing in our lives. Christmas can be a really hard time if you've recently lost somebody. We can talk of losing something, a possession, something that we just can't find. Manda, do you know where your church keys are?
I do at the moment, they're in my pocket.
Manda has not lost her church keys today. That is good. Or we lose something valuable that matters to us, a possession. On my ring here, on my finger is my wedding ring, which I put on my finger 28 years ago. And I have lost this ring numerous times, never permanently yet. I've got a terrible habit of sitting down on the sofa, for some reason, taking my ring off and just putting it on the side of the chair and then going off later and thinking, oh, where's my ring gone? And just finding it, or I find it in a pocket. So far, I've not lost it. I wonder whether you've ever lost anything that is really valuable and precious to you. If you have experienced loss, being lost, maybe you're going through that today. I did once lose something that was very, very valuable to me. Well, it wasn't something, it was somebody. It was my son Joe. He was 5 years old. We'd just been to a wedding in Richmond, and the day after we went for a walk along the River Thames. I was walking along, Joe, 5 years old, was in front of me, Nick, my wife, and the two other children were behind. I think Nick was pushing the double buggy at the time. It was a scene a little bit like this. This is very, very similar. This is the River Thames. The river was on the left, the pathway was in the middle, and there was a hedge on the right. And Joe, at five, was just enjoying running ahead a little bit, just going a little bit out of sight, just enjoying that bit of freedom. And I'd let him run, and then I'd go and catch up with him, make sure he's okay. And at one point, the path started to just veer to the right, so I couldn't see round the corner. Joe ran ahead a little bit. I ran up to catch up with him, and he was nowhere to be seen. My heart sank and fell to the ground immediately. I'd lost my son, and I had to tell my wife that I couldn't see him. So we started walking and calling up and down this stretch of the pathway by the River Thames. Joe! Joe! And it got louder and louder. Joe! Joe! And we started running backwards and forwards. We could see in the distance he wasn't there. We kept going backwards and forwards. Where could he be? And then I noticed in the hedge was this little gap, too small for me to get through. But if I could just get into the mindset of a five-year-old could get through that gap in the hedge. Well, I managed to squeeze through this gap in the hedge. And the other side of the hedge was the playground. By this time, the rain was falling. This time it was the English rain, which I think is a bit more gentle on us, but still it was raining. And I found this playground, but because it was raining, everyone had gone indoors. There was like an indoor area next to it. So I went over to the indoor bit, and there was Joe, happy as could be, having a lovely time, completely unaware of what we'd been going through, completely unaware of the fact that he was lost, or at least that we had lost him. He was having fun. He didn't even know that he needed us to come and find him. I guess there would have come a time when he would have looked for us, when he would have thought, Mum, Dad, I need you. I'm hungry, or I'm thirsty, or I need something. He would have realized he was lost eventually, but at that moment, he hadn't realized that he was lost. Grab the next slide, please, Amy. The Bible speaks a lot about being lost. The Bible speaks a lot about going from being lost to being found. In Luke's gospel, in chapter 15, there's three parables about being lost that you might have heard of. There's the parable of the lost sheep, the first one. The farmer has 100 sheep, and one of his sheep goes missing. And this farmer loves his sheep and cares for his sheep. So he leaves those 99 in a safe place, and he goes and finds the one sheep that's gone missing. Finds it, brings it back, reunites it with the 99. And the Bible says he throws a party with his friends and his neighbours to celebrate. He's so pleased to have found his sheep. I know there's at least one person here tonight who would resonate with that story about wanting to keep their sheep safe. Am I right? Yes, I'm right. There's the parable of the lost coin. A woman has lost one of her 10 coins and she searches everywhere. And eventually she finds her coin and she calls her friends and her neighbors over and says, come and celebrate this precious coin of mine I finally found. And there's the parable of the lost son, sometimes called the parable of the prodigal son. This boy who leaves his father, who takes his inheritance early and squanders it in wild living, as the Bible calls it. He ends up lost. He ends up losing his way. He ends up with no place to live, no food to eat. He's lost his way. And he eventually decides to go back to his father because he figures, my father hires servants. Maybe he'll take me back as a hired servant. So he heads back to his father and he finds that actually his father is looking out, waiting for him, and runs to greet him with his arms open, kisses him and receives him back with joy. And guess what? He throws a party. There's a lot of parties in the Bible. He throws a party. He said, I've got to throw a party because my son was dead and is alive again. My son was lost and is found. These parables, these stories that Jesus told are speaking about God's plan for the world. God's plan that people would go from being lost to being found. And from being lost to being found is at the heart of the Christian faith. There's one party after another going on in heaven as people go from being lost to being found. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came that the lost may be found. I heard a brilliant quote a couple of weeks ago, a quote from the great theologian and football coach, Arsene Wenger, who once said, Christmas is important, but Easter is decisive. Christmas is important, but Easter is decisive. You know, at Christmas time, we remember this baby born in Bethlehem. But Easter time, we remember this same baby who grew to be a man, who died on a cross for you and for me, to save us from death to life, to save us from being lost to being found. And just like when I squeezed through that hole in the hedge, like a five-year-old, Jesus became like us to reach us, so that when he died on that cross, he could take on my sin and shame and your sin and shame, so that he could bridge the gap that had grown between us, between humanity and God. Jesus came to save that which had been lost, our relationship with the living God. Our relationship with God was lost when we turned away from him. The Bible calls it sin. It's when we turn away from God, when we live to please ourselves instead of pleasing him. And when we do that, a gap is created, a chasm forms between us and God. And when Jesus died on that cross, he took upon himself the consequence for our sin, for our living to please ourselves instead of living to please God. And he took the punishment and the consequence of our sin away so that we may be made right with God, so that we can be in relationship with God. He bridged that gap that had formed between humanity and God. And he did that because God loves you. He did that because God longs to know you and have that relationship restored. He did that because God cares deeply for you, just like that shepherd who cared deeply for his sheep. In Luke's gospel in chapter 9, Jesus says he has come to seek and to save the lost. The baby born to Mary grew to be a man who came to seek and save the lost. This is really good news if you're feeling a bit lost. So what about you this evening? Bring up the next slide, please. As we gather to sing these wonderful carols this evening, as we gather, just like people are doing all over the world, to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, I wonder if you know him. I wonder if you know Jesus as the one who saves you. The one who takes you from being lost to being found. I wonder if you know what it means to know Jesus. From one of our readings tonight, from Isaiah, we heard these words: "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light." This was written hundreds of years before Jesus was born, but it points to his birth. It says that when Jesus comes, it'll be like a bright light in the midst of people who are lost in darkness. He will come to light the way ahead. It's like Google Maps coming to your smartphone when you're driving around in circles, lost in France. Jesus will come to show us the way home. So I wonder if you feel lost. Is it possible for us to be lost without realizing it? Like my son taking shelter by the playground. Have you ever thought to yourself, is this it to life? There must be more to life than this. Have you ever felt that deep satisfaction? You know, you can have everything, can't you? And yet still feel something's missing, still feel empty. A sense of falling short of living the life that you were created to live. We sang "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," and in it we sing that Jesus comes to bring light and life to all. And we find that light and life when we simply receive Jesus, when we live trusting him, looking to him, following him, when we're found by Jesus. In a few moments, the choir are going to sing again, and they're going to sing these words of Jesus. "Such a wonderful Savior to be born in a manger so that I can share in his favor and my heart be made anew." That's what Jesus does as he takes us from being lost to being found. He makes our hearts new. He takes us from a place of despair to a place of hope, from a place of fear to a place where we can be assured that he is with us, from a place of anxiety and restlessness to a place of peace, from having no future to having a future. And there are loads of people here tonight with us who've experienced this, who know the difference Jesus makes to our lives when we look to him, when we submit to him, when we say, yes, please find me and please save me. Loads of people here. I challenge you tonight, if you don't know Jesus, why not ask one of us, what difference has Jesus really made in your life? Maybe someone's invited you here this evening. Ask them that question and see what they say. Have a chat with them after the service. Be brave and ask these questions. I'd be really happy to have a chat with you. So would Manda, our vicar. Ask these questions. Be brave. We love questions here at St. Mary's. And in fact, in January, we're going to be running a course called Alpha. You might have heard of it. It's run all over the world now. And Alpha is a course where you can ask questions all about the Christian faith. That's what it's designed for, to ask questions about the Christian faith. Any question can be asked. Any question is welcome. If you'd like to come and join us on our Alpha course this coming January, please see myself or Manda, or have a chat with somebody you know here at St. Mary's, or look at our website and book through that at withalchurch.net. This Christmas, whenever you find yourself driving home, whether that's a long journey home or whether that's simply driving home tonight from our carol service, may you be reminded that the child who was born in the manger grew to become the man who died on a cross to save us, to save you and I, to save those who have lost their way, to save what was lost, that relationship between us and the living God. He came to bring us home to God. As our final carol tonight, we'll put it when we sing it. We'll sing these words that have been ever so slightly tweaked so they don't mention born this happy morning, which is what we sing on Christmas Day. But we'll sing, yes, Lord, we greet thee, born for our salvation. Jesus, we welcome you because you were born to save us. You were born to show us the way home, to show us the way to God. So I want to say to you, happy Christmas, everyone. Happy Christmas. May you know the peace and the love of Jesus Christ, who came to seek and to save the lost this Christmas and always. Amen.